Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it?
What is going on, all my local guys and gals? And we are not going to forget about those long distance pals either.
We're back.
I'm Q. You gotta have the there it is. Well, it's good to see you, fellas.
Well, I'm waiting on your "we're back."
We're back.
Listen, buddy, I'm losing it. I think my voice has finally stopped cracking. I think I've got my man voice now.
You finally made it through puberty.
Made it through. I'm a real boy.
That was a long time, son.
Listen, buddy, we all age differently. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is good to see you guys, but it is crazy to think about why we're talking tonight when you really think about it and go back to think that this is the end of our third season.
The end of the road.
That is crazy to think about. It is the end of our third season, but it's still just the beginning. I think we're learning a lot on the way. I mean, this has turned into so much more than the dig and what spawned off this, you know, with the Prometheus lens, with Ben has been starting a show that's more about fixing Jeeps and things of that nature, but still very family friendly. Muddy Piston Garage. Get excited for that. A couple of other friends had started the Vessels podcast after we started the dig. You know, Liz and Keisha and Leslie started the Mustard Seed podcast. All this stuff was spurred on because we took a step of faith when we felt God was pushing us in a direction and we started the dig. This is back 3 years ago. And to think about that we're here right now and the fact that there's nowhere for us to go but up from here. I mean, we're just going to keep growing. We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We're going to keep getting the word of God out to people. We're going to keep digging into the strange, into the supernatural, into the things that the Bible tells us about that everybody else is scared to talk about. We're going to keep going that way. And man, I'm just excited and happy that you guys have been on this journey with me.
It don't seem like it's been 3 years.
Mm-mm.
It's blowed by.
Yep, time flies. That's when you're sure. Having fun.
Yeah.
And we were even talking pre-roll too. It's cool how, you know, we've all kind of started doing our own little thing, but it's still all tied together. And even how we're talking about our future plans, we're all three still tied in together. And even with our future plans, we're talking about how we're going to be co-producing together and how it's all going to be, we're still going to be interlaced together, even in our separate adventures. We're growing together.
That's
pretty
what it's
wild,
all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And this is cool because it, you know, just like anything in your life, it can be the, you know, the front page of the book, you know, you have to open it at some point. And the dig is what did that for me, at least. And I think it did for both of you guys too. And that was the front page of the book. And as you keep going through, you know, more and more things happen. Each chapter, something changes and there's something new and there's something as exciting. And we keep growing, like you said. And it's so cool that I see Justin succeeding at what he's doing. I see Ben branching out into things that I never thought he'd do. I mean, quite literally.
I don't even know what we're doing.
But that's how you learn. And then, you know, we keep pushing forward in this and some of the documentary stuff that we're going to be doing too. I mean, Justin's already got some documentaries that he's working on under, on the down low right now. I'm not going to spoil anything, I promise. But, we got some documentaries that are going to come out from the Prometheus lens. We got some stuff that's going to come out from a full different side of things from a full different angle, but we all still going to have our hands on these things. And, it's just going to be an amazing, I don't know how else to put it other than just a step of faith, and where it puts you is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So. And what's really cool with all this from my perspective is this journey with the dig, it really taught me to dream. and to be a dreamer, because I was always Reggie the realist. And I, even growing up, I always was the big goof off. I never fully applied myself. I remember my mother and my guidance counselor at school, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I'm going to be a factory rat. I mean, I look around, that's what everybody was. Everybody, when they got out of school, they went straight to the factory, and that's what I'm going to be, and didn't really dream. And I remember my ex-wife, Rebecca, used to ask me all the time, you know, what's your dream? If you could be anything or do anything, you know, what would you do or want to be? I could never answer that question because I never stopped to take the time to do that. I just couldn't. I thought that was pointless and useless. I was like, I don't know. That's a waste of time. I have to go to work. I have to make money to pay for food and housing. And why waste time doing that? I was never a dreamer. I thought that stuff was out of my reach. And doing this, because you pushed me, Steve, you know, to do this, it opened up a whole new world. You know, it was like Aladdin, you know, a whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
He's good at pushing.
Yeah.
He kind of pushed the girls onto the, I wouldn't say pushed, but.
You helped.
Yeah, I did.
But
push.
It allowed me to dream for the first time in my life. And I found something that I was passionate about and that I enjoyed, and it gave me purpose. And I was having, you know, an effect on people. And I had a purpose in life. And I was writing books and doing episodes and research. And then I found that I loved film and doing research. And then I found that I can, you know, make money and do this thing that I love to do. And it's just been an amazing journey. And thank you, Steve.
I don't know. I don't think I can take credit for that, because I truly believe that this is all God. This is something, the way it happened in the beginning, and we've talked about it before, but he brought four of us together in a Bible study that a bunch of guys were supposed to be there, and only four of us ever showed up. So we started this. Ever. Yeah.
It was just us.
So we started a Bible study.
No one extra, yeah.
And the one time, I remember this, I was going, I think it was for one of the kids' birthdays or something, and we were at the Wilderness, at the thing in the Smokies, the water park.
Oh, and I was thinking you was up in Michigan.
And you recorded that night, or filmed it live. I can't remember how you did it.
I think we Facebook Lived it to you.
I think
something.
You did, because I watched it. And still was part of it. And I was so excited about that I still got to be, because I didn't want to miss anything. And it was just a Bible study we were doing. And there was just the four of us. And, you know, granted, only there's just three of us here now. But we still all are, you know, pushing forward. But the fact that it started out as that, and just, you know, we're sitting there and I'm like, my gosh. And the same thing that I've heard, you know, a lot of different people talk about. I actually was, you know, Ricky from the Christian Theological Dark Web podcast, right? He always talks about that, like the things they won't talk about in church. I mean, that's something he brings up all the time on their little shorts and all the things they do. And it's what we said. I'm like, my gosh, all these different things that we're talking about and seeing, like, this isn't brought up. These are very important things that are the cultural context, the reason that we're just not reading the Bible the right way. Everybody tries to take this context and put it into our life right now, like it just fits for right now. But it wasn't written to us at this time. Certain parts of it were. Let's not get totally off there. But the book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth. I mean, it just was. We can definitely take things from that. And there's some amazing things we can take from that. We're supposed to learn from that. But it wasn't written to us. So when we sat there and we were talking about Genesis 6 and trying to understand where, you know, a lot of these, the Nephilim and you know, fallen angels and this, you know, Ephesians 6:12, you know, what are these powers in this unseen realm? Reading Mike Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm, what that did for me opened my eyes so much. And we start talking, and Justin, you've always been a very good researcher, reader, full of knowledge. And I was like, we have to record this. This has to be recorded. It just has to be, because this stuff is just too good. And I think that was something that God really wanted to have happen. And I think that's why he's blessed this, why he's made it this way, and why he's blessing all of us, even in the individual different directions that we're going, while at the same time maintaining the core. So I just think it's such a, it's been such a special thing to me. It's been a life-changing thing for me. It's been a growth for me, getting to know you guys. Because when we started that Bible study, I would say you guys were acquaintances of mine. Because I really didn't talk to you guys much at all prior to that. I just said, hey, there's a, like, I think my wife was on the worship team with you at church, Justin. And she's like, yeah, he talks about Bigfoot and stuff. I'm like, I like him already. Like, this is what, you know, and I'm, so then we start that Bible study thing. And I
That's how it started.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys. From...
I was reading Michael Heiser, and I was actually doing videos on Facebook talking about some of this weird, fringy stuff on Facebook. And she had seen a few of them, and me and her talked a little bit about it at praise team practice. And then she's like, yeah, you and my husband Steve need to talk. And then I think one day we just kind of started talking about the unseen realm and angels breeding with the daughters of men and Nephilim giants. And then that kind of got my gears turning. I'm like, hey, there's a few people here at church that's kind of hip to this stuff, man. Maybe I just need to get a little small group together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wasn't even hip to it. I just like, yeah, I need, I mean, I, you know, I pull security at church. I was standing back here in the back. I didn't know Steve from Adam.
Yeah, we threw you into the deep end. You had no clue about any of this stuff.
No, I still don't.
No floaties or nothing. We just threw you in.
And I'm a heavy boy. I just sunk, son.
Like a rock.
Yeah, but yeah, it was definitely a wild, has been a wild trip. Mm-hmm. That's for
sure. We got some pushback too.
I'm not a studier. I'm like you, Justin, son. I just barely made it through school. Not because I was dumb, because I didn't try. And like how you talk about, the guidance counselors told me, if you just put in a little bit of effort, this, you know, I got bored. I was like, yeah, whatever. It's stupid. But it's like, well, it's like doing the Gog and Magog. I actually had to do some digging on that one.
We're gonna make you do that a little more. I'm gonna get the cattle prod out and put a Bible in front of you, and we're gonna get you.
I'll get you the prod, and I'll take the batteries out of it.
But I remember we got some pushback in our small little town and church.
Yeah. I think it was more people didn't. Yeah, I think it was more they didn't understand what we were doing.
Oh, yeah, just the gods talk, the plurality.
Yeah, that's what freaked them out. And which you hear it from a lot of people, it's, you need to be bringing people to Jesus. That what you're not bringing people to Jesus. You're not even talking about Jesus. How is this a Bible podcast if you're not bringing people to Jesus? Well, that's great. People need to come to Jesus, but this is, like we've said all along, that's milk and honey. We're given some meat after you've discovered Jesus and you're trying to further the walk with him.
And I look at which, go ahead.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Doug was talking about it even. He said that, you know, you can go to these churches that every Sunday services, get right with the Lord, get saved, and all 12 people there are already saved, because they're the only 12 that ever go, but they're not furthering their walk with Christ or nothing, so they're just standing still. Well, I'm saved. Let's. I mean, that obviously has a point, you know, of you know, these tent revivals and all that, they have their place. But we're stepping beyond that to go deeper. And we've covered a lot of topics.
I think it's important too, and I think you're right. I agree with you 100%. But I think it's when you, the hard part is, right, the church a lot of times is there for the people that are sitting there like, yep, I want to know about Jesus. I'm ready to understand Jesus. And they come in and it's great. It's awesome. I want that. I want people to be there. I want people to want to talk about Jesus. The hard part is that a lot of times, and this is what's really sad, and this is where people, I hate that people go to church once or twice, feel judged, and they never go again. What happens is people come in, maybe they've been maybe they were Druid or Wiccan in the past. Maybe they have, you know, had been someone who've seen ghosts or had crazy things happen in their life. And then they come to church and people are like, nope, that's not real. Nope, that's not, you know. And the church has become very spiritually blind in the whole idea of what the supernatural realm is as a whole. And it is super important, like I said. The gospel is the core. We have to be, you know, in that gospel. There's no doubt. But when we don't sit there and take the time to feed and look for everybody, right? We're trying to get outside of just that realm of people that are in church. I want to find somebody who wants to have a conversation that has been like, listen, I practiced witchcraft for most of my life. I've conjured things. Things have come up. I've seen this. I went to church and they told me, oh no, whatever, you know, you get judged for this, that, or the other. No, listen, I know that stuff's real. I know that stuff's there.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about it. Don't ignore those things. These weird things that are uncomfortable for us in the Bible that people don't like to talk about are very real. If it's in there, it's important. If it's weird in the Bible, what Heiser always said, it's important. These things are there. And that's why it's so important for us to reach those people too, to say, look it, you're right. There are things out there. They might not be what you think they are, but they are out there. There's a very supernatural world all around us. There's a supernatural war that's happening all around us. And if we don't understand that, then we're already losing.
That's true. And, you know, Why would God say not to do it if it wasn't real? That's like saying, all right, kids, make sure you look under. You got to make sure the boogeyman's not underneath your bed before you go to bed at night. You ain't going to tell. There ain't a such thing as a boogeyman. But you do tell them to look both ways before you cross the road, because there is such thing as that car coming down running you over. So,
but the boogeyman does look for Chuck Norris under his bed.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
I'm sure there's a boogeyman somewhere, but not underneath our beds. And he's got to watch out for old Chuck Norris, son.
Well, I guess, you know, we sit there and we talk about, I love reminiscing about all this. I love looking back and seeing, you know, where it's been to where it's going, or to where we are now, to where it's going past that. Because there is so much and there's so many things happening, and it's like a, It's just a spider. All this just branches out into so many different things. It's a huge web, right? It branches out into so many different directions, and it's going to keep going that way, because it's just another way God blesses it, and it gives you another way to reach people in a different way. And each one of our ministries or shows, however you want to talk about it, each way that we're going is going to reach different people. So this show that started out reaching just this group of people, awesome. You know, everybody who's watching this, I love you. I'm so happy that you found this. I am so happy you're watching this. Share it with everybody you can. If it's not for you, great. I mean, it isn't for you. But I just think if you're ready to start understanding more of the weird stuff in the Bible, you need to tune in. But now, with all the other shows and the different things that we're doing, we're going to be able to reach people in so many different walks of life that we wouldn't have reached otherwise if we had just stuck with this one show. So with that being said, though, I think it's important to look back on a couple of the things that we think maybe were some of the cooler things this year that we've been, and maybe people who are watching this haven't seen it and could go back and listen or watch some of these things, because we have some amazing speakers. We've had some just great content shows that have been original research here. And then we've had the one of my favorite things, and I'll start off with it, was our deep dive in the Book of Enoch. Absolutely love that. And I loved getting it because you read it and I have my perspective on it, but then I get Ben's, I get Justin's, we get everybody's ideas on what this could mean, what that could mean. And it just helps pull that picture together. It was such a cool time to go through that and do that study with you guys.
Definitely was interesting.
Yep. And that was something too, that at the time we were brainstorming at the end of last year on shows to do, that we had brought up, and I had said that I don't think that I heard a podcast do that. I had heard, you know, podcasts, you know, do an episode or talk mm-hmm. about Enoch, but I hadn't seen an actual show do an actual, you know, study and just go through and break this thing down. So it was kind of a, as far as I know, a first of its kind. Now, it wasn't a Mike Heiser verse by verse, but it was definitely a bold move for a couple of rednecks in a garage.
Yeah, but that's how most people are going to read it, right? Most people are going to look at that, and they're going to look at it with fresh eyes, as we did for some of it. We've definitely, earlier parts of that, like chapters like 8 through like 12, are really our Genesis 6, you know what I mean? That we, it's that, it fills in that holes for us about the watchers and, you know, the knowledge and all the different things that come out of that. But when you get past that and you start diving, I'm looking at it with fresh eyes. And so many other people will look at that with fresh eyes too. And it's really cool to just be like, you know what, this is how I see it. This is what I think this could mean. This is what I think this could mean. And, you know, we're very honest, like, this could mean this. I don't know, but this is what it could be pointing to. And you see a lot of symbolism in the numbers and the way that things are presented. I mean, there's so much in the direction. Oh, it's an east to west direction. It's a, you know, these different things that you see. And there's a lot of supernatural, spiritual connotations throughout that. And it's just such a cool book for that reason. But man, I do love it probably the most just because it gives you, once again, I'm just going to preface this because you know how people get about the Book of Enoch. It is not canonical, right? I'm not saying this is in the Bible. I'm not saying that this is from the Word of God, from his mouth, whatever, but it's a historical account. And could it be embellished? Definitely. Could there be things that were changed over time? For sure. But to me, it gives you the best look into potentially what happened at that Genesis 6 event. And it fills in those blanks. Puzzles. Yeah. Because if you go back in 8 verses, the world goes from the angels came down and had intercourse with the sons of God have intercourse with the daughters of Adam, right? And flood. Here we are. Like, then the flood has to happen. Everybody has to die. God's not mean. God's not sitting there just looking to pick somebody off. So in those 8 verses, you know, we just always read it and say, oh, I guess something bad happened. That's just, you know, it was bad. It was corrupt. Everything was wholly corrupt. What does that mean? So without having those pieces, which back then they understood it, right? They had this information. They had these books. They had this stuff. And so they were able to, they didn't, when the writer wrote this, right? Moses is writing this. He's like, don't need to
go over that again. Horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Everybody knows this.
Yep.
But
that goes back to the whole writing in their time. Like we was talking about, some books are not meant for us, but we can learn this. Things happen over and over and over in society. Mm-hmm. So they can still be applied, but they wasn't directed exactly towards us in 2024.
People, I hate that you have to build this defensive wall when talking about this book for those certain types of Christians, because everything that you said in defense of...
Yep.
This view of the Book of Enoch, if we're being honest, you can say about your canon. If we're being honest, your canon, yes, divine inspired word of God, but it was written by human people. If we look through all the scrolls found, we find different variants, different wordings, scribes, you know, I mean, and there's verses in there warning you, you know, cursed is the person who adds or takes away. Why, you know, just like Ben, you guys have said many times, why say that if it was not possible or not being done? So it's like we have to be honest with ourselves. And this Book of Enoch was mentioned and quoted word for word in your canon that us as Christians hold so near and dear to our heart. And our New Testament writers quote it. Jude, which was Jesus's half-brother, quotes it word for word. Many people and scholars have argued that the red letters, some of these red letters, are quoting out of 1st Enoch, and reference 1st Enoch. Peter quotes from Enoch. So it's like, if you have all these references,
right,
from the apostles that followed Christ, even Christ's half-brother, direct quoting from it, if it was good enough for all them, it should be good enough for you.
To at least read.
There's always something to take from it.
If it's good enough for, but here, if it was good enough for the people that wrote the book that you say is divine inspired and holds so near and dear to your heart, why is it not good enough for you?
That's a good and the Holy Spirit will guide you through the book, you know.
Granted, like Steve said, is there some embellishments in there? Probably. Is there some mistakes in there? Probably. But that's what the Holy Spirit's for.
Yep. He'll guide you.
I'll say the same thing to what you're saying to add to this, right? When we go back and we look, parts of 1st Enoch were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, the Essenes up at Qumran, and if you haven't looked into that, you know, the three major religious sects, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. We don't hear a lot about the Essenes, obviously, in the Bible, but you hear a lot about the Pharisees and Sadducees. But the Essenes, writing these scrolls up in the caves in Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, they would write what they called peshers, which were it's their version of a commentary, basically, on the Jewish books of their Bible, right? The Jewish books, like on Isaiah, all these books that were prior to them, they had what they called peshers, and they would only do that for books that they deemed extremely important. First Enoch, they found a pesher that goes along with First Enoch, a commentary on First Enoch that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran. So you know this was important to them biblically. You know this was important to them as far as the understanding the history of their world, because it's a history book, right? I could sit there and tell you, you know, and World War One, this happened, and World War Two, this happened. Guess what? You know where I got that from? I got that from a history book. I'm not saying the history book hasn't been embellished or changed or we're given a certain part of it, but it's from a history book. I wasn't there, but just because I wasn't there, do I believe that First World War didn't happen? No, I know what happened.
And it's not in your Bible, right? Yeah. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's something that kills
me. Yeah, they can't write down everything. A lot of Christian
people that, man, if it ain't in that book, it didn't happen. It's like, come on, guys. That's so narrow-minded, and it makes you look so ignorant. I mean, it does. I know that's blunt, but, I mean, it is what it is.
If everything was in that book, no one would ever be able to read it because it would fill up. I couldn't think about it.
You couldn't. Yeah, how many lifetimes is the Bible cover?
Yeah.
You only have one.
Yep.
So you couldn't read it regardless if you never pulled your nose out of it.
But this is even so much why I think that's even more important for people to understand that you know, not Enoch, you know, an ancient book. We don't know exactly when it was written. There's some ideas and guesses, but we don't know exactly when it was written or who wrote it, or if it's transcribed by somebody, if it was just oral tradition that somebody later wrote. We don't know. But when you go back and you look at, for example, if you go, this is one of my favorite examples when you talk about this. Ben, how did Peter die?
He was hung on the cross upside down.
Is that written in the Bible?
No.
No, but it's written in over 30 other historian books that are not biblical, but yet we accept that as truth.
Right.
You know, same thing.
It's same, Jerome
said that Paul was beheaded the exact same day by Nero, the same day. I think it was the seventh year of Nero's reign that Jerome writes, they were martyred on the same day. This, we just believe that. And we believe, we believe these things are true, that all these, with the exception of John, were martyred. But there's only, two or three that are, we talked about in the Bible. I can't remember off the top of my head how many were actually martyred that it talks about in the Bible, but we have the accounts of all the others in all these other historical books. So we can't leave these historians out. Like Josephus is one of the coolest ones to read to me, because Josephus has some really, and Herodotus I like a lot too, but these historians have a lot of really cool stuff that points, like, you know, Josephus, not a Christian, he's a Jewish guy that was not a Christian, but talks about Jesus, talks about this stuff in his writings. He talks about this stuff.
And so, he's a good example too. He writes down stuff and tells and documents and writes about things that were long, long before him, mm-hmm. right? So if we find a document of him talking about something that happened thousands of years before him, right, and we find that, and we date his writings to the time frame that he lived, but he's talking about something that happened thousands of years ago, how easy would it be for somebody to say, oh, well, this is a forgery because he's talking about this time frame, but we date it to this time frame, right?
Right.
It was written looking back. The story he's telling, that doesn't make the story he's telling false. This is a story that was told through oral tradition, passed along for how many, forever how long, until it was finally written down. And that's how Enoch and some of these other stories, the Book of Jasher, and that's what a lot of people make the mistake, because they date these texts and these writings. They say, oh, it's a forgery. It was dated to this date, so therefore it proves it's a fake. No, you're missing the point, Daddy. These were oral traditions that were passed along for thousands of years, well taken care of, until finally somebody like Flavius Josephus or Moses took the time to write them down. So even if you do all your scientific dating and investigations and pinpoint it to a date that proves that it's not as old as it says it is, that doesn't prove that the account is false. I mean, 90% of the things that we have that are historical documents, they weren't, you know, like today, live at 5, we have such and such on the scene reporting. No, I mean, things were passed orally for thousands of years, mm-hmm. until someone finally took the time to write it down. And that's something we need to get through our head.
Or tell God told them to write it down, because you'll see very specifically. I mean, they're all inspired, but if you look, it'll be like, you know, write, like, what does the angel say to John? In Revelation, write these down, write these words down, right? He tells him to write this down while he's on Patmos in a cave, you know, with pretty limited supplies. He's writing this stuff down. You're right. It's pretty crazy to think about the way that if we go back to the time, and this is where I struggle with this, and we don't need to go too deep into it because I seem to fall back into this almost every episode. But if we go back into the biblical times, if we go back into when Jesus is there, the first church is created, all these people, they believe these things. They had these, a very supernatural view. There was people, you know, having demons cast out. And if you were, you had some issue or there was some mental health, they thought you were possessed or you had sinned, these things. It was a very supernatural view. And we've lost that down the way. And it's that whole, there's a couple different great quotes, but the one that I always have loved is, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was making the world think he didn't exist. Back then, everybody knew there was the supernatural realm. People were still sacrificing, you go back to the Old Testament, we're sacrificing children to Molech. We're seeing these other gods being venerated and all this. It was a very supernatural world. Now we've gotten to a point where we've taken that away. We've gotten way past even that age of reason, right? And we're into the part where we just kind of let everybody else tell us what to do. And we just kind of do our thing. We live our own life. We live in the Matrix-esque ignorance is bliss. And we don't have that understanding of the supernatural realm that they did in biblical times, that they did throughout all the writings. If you just go through and read your New Testament, and don't just skip over a verse because you don't understand it. Look up, see what it means, see what they're talking about, dig into it. It just blows me away how many things I used to look over and just be like, I don't know what that means, so I'm just going to keep going. And now I'm like, if I don't get it, I'm like, okay, this is going to mean something cool. I can tell already. I got to look and see where this came from. What does this mean?
Probably important.
It's probably important. And I think that's where this to me has been a passion of mine lately, is just that we need to, the fact that we don't even have an enemy, the church doesn't see an enemy right now. They don't understand. And like you said, Ben, earlier, everybody, come to Jesus. These people, and there's a lot of them that do come to Jesus, but if you don't ever take the next step, you don't grow in your faith. It's the parable of the sower, you know, with the seed on the path, right? Quick roots, and then they get trampled out. This stuff happens all the time. And if we don't feed that faith, if we don't continue on that path, if we're not diving into our Bible, if we're not trying to grow as a Christian, you can't just go to church once a week, have somebody talk to you for half an hour and think that, oh, that's all I needed. Now my cup is full.
I'm good to go. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not important, because I do believe it is. Your call is to do more than just go and listen to somebody. Your call is to dig into the word yourself. Your call is to talk to God directly, to be in prayer, to there's just so much. And the crazy part is that, and I'm gonna be done after this, I'm sorry, but the crazy part is, to me, is that we sit there and we look at, think about back in the day, you know, for them to have Moloch do what they wanted to do, they had to sacrifice a child. Or if you go back to the Incan or Mayan empires, you know, we talk about that temple that I think it was the Mayan temple. It was at Teotihuacan or something. I think it was what it was called. And when they consecrated that temple, in 4 days, they sacrificed 84,000 people.
It was a temple of the sun.
And they think, right, that this is what's needed for the gods to do what they need them or want them to do. We can just talk to ours. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to just have that talk with you. I don't have to go and sacrifice a cat to talk to him. He's right there.
He sheds his blood for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So this part, that's the part that just blows me away, that we don't take advantage of that. His word, you can pick it up. It's in your hand. You can read it anytime. You can talk to him anytime. I don't care what country you're in. You're in a communist country. You might not be allowed to have a Bible, but guess what? You can talk to him anytime.
Job didn't have a Bible.
Well, a lot of people back that far didn't. And actually, you were only allowed to listen to the priests actually read from the scrolls. A lot of people weren't educated enough to read them.
Well, they just read them too, from what I understand. So, they didn't really go into explaining it. But that's just what I understand, of course.
But I digress from that train, because we've...
You jump on that one a lot sometimes.
I know, I can't help it, dude. It's God's giving me a lot of fire on that right now, because I just see the church as a whole across this country, across the world, is missing the mark. And we're not necessarily... Well,
you have a bunch of them completely removing the mark.
But that's well, that's what I'm saying.
Their own mark, yeah.
Some are pulling them fully away, and some are just not... They're just not watering the seed. And that's just as scary to me, because those people will be the first ones to fall away when things get tough.
That's true.
So,
or they think it's all hunky-dory and not prepared for when it gets bad.
Romans 5, 3 through 5, remember that. Just be grateful for when hard things happen, because it builds endurance, and endurance builds character. Those things are it's so important. We're going to be tested. Bad things are going to happen. We have to know that, but you have to have the gospel in your heart. You have to have faith. You have to have all these things, because that's the only way that you can get through these things is with God. So,
yep.
True. I'm done. I promise. I'm done.
Which we've had a lot of good conversations this year. And I got to be careful, because I know this will be aired fairly soon, and we've got a lot more conversations, and I don't know which ones is going to be released this season.
Why don't we go back a little further?
For next season. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to one I know has been released that I did enjoy. And I'm probably going to butcher her last name, so forgive me if I do, but Carrie Madege.
I think Madai.
But she was very interesting conversation, and she had a very interesting testimony too. We met her for the first time was at the conference in Dallas, and she spoke there, and she gave a very out of the box talk about CERN and supernatural, and we immediately went out and reached out to her and asked her to come on the show, and had a very just fascinating testimony. She survived a plane crash, and I really enjoyed talking to her, and we actually had her on a second time. Have we released that second talk yet?
I have to look at that. I have to see what, to be honest, I have to look. But I'll tell you, her insight is pretty remarkable. And the fact that what I love about her is that she doesn't care what you think. She's going to say what she believes, and she doesn't care what you think. She's not going to bend to what somebody says. And she's gone through a lot of persecution on her the COVID vaccine. She's gone through a lot of persecution on some of the other things that she's brought up, some of her disbeliefs, and really digging into supernatural, the power of prayer, just so many different things that she really digs into. If you listen to that episode, you'll see why she fits in really well with this channel. So that's definitely our vibe, where it's Jesus and all that supernatural stuff too. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean,
she was even doing a study, like, where she was talking to us about they were taking blood samples of people that had illnesses and different things, and they were just praying, putting hands on someone and praying over them, and playing praise music and stuff like that, and then drawing blood from a sick person, and then putting hands on them, praying and playing praise music and things like that, and then drawing blood immediately after, and comparing under a microscope, I think's what it was, right?
I think.
And that they were running tests on it and was showing that through prayer and praise music and things like that, that they were healing people, and they were showing, like, basically
positive
scientifically.
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. But this is something where we can't fathom, first of all, the power of prayer and how God works, right? There's so much to be said by, the word. God gives us some of his, I don't want to say ability, but, you know, he bestows on, and he bestowed on the apostles the power to heal individuals, cast out demons, things like this. Holy Spirit inside of us gives us some of that same ability, right? Because God's with us. And it's not us doing it. It's God using us as a tool. So when we have that with us, it is the things that God can do with us. You think about, go back to Genesis, and God said, you know, and God said, it's a spoken word. The power of words, the power of prayer, the power of what God can do through you is, it's really, it's unlimited because of who God is, who he is. It says faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. This is
so
because
powerful.
God
Simon
can work
Magnus wanted to purchase it.
Yes, he did. Didn't go so well.
Yeah. But. And she said even that same group she was working with had come up with basically healing water. Said that they were, what was it, through the,
I forget what,
was
it? What
the
it was.
The 444 frequency or something like that. That powerful,
but it was all
frequency.
From lobsters, right?
Lobsters,
yeah,
that's what
lobster
it was.
Water.
Yeah, lobster they were thinking water. About calling it lobster water, and they were playing some kind of harmonic frequency because she said water has a memory, and that they were throwing that frequency at the water, and that it was holding that frequency in the water, and that when you drank it, that it was had like healing properties and stuff.
It's pretty amazing to think about. I mean, you think about this.
It
as
was
God's...
a great conversation.
This is God's creation. It's unbelievable what his creation can do, and we'll never fathom it. Not till we get up there and are able to ask all the questions we want to ask, you know. But both those conversations were very enlightening and excellent. That was very good. If you go back way to the beginning, the first episode we had of the year was Gary Wayne. That was the very first one of the season, and Gary Wayne talking about bloodlines and Nephilim. Gary is... anybody in this space knows who Gary is, and Gary was amazing. Gary had such insight and really dug into the bloodlines and where the Nephilim, not just who they were and where they were, but where they are now. And that might blow your mind. So if you want to dig into a little bit about why were the Nephilim so important, why does that matter to us today? Gary is a pretty interesting guy with a lot of insight. So that one blew me away quite a bit. And I'll be honest, I couldn't get a word in because Gary's on fire. He just goes. Gary loves it. He's an amazing, amazing individual.
Yeah, he's well researched, and he's like the Energizer Bunny, man. Once you put the batteries in, just step back, man. Let him go.
Oh yeah. What's another one that you know who else we had? And it's funny, it feels like it's been forever, but we had Ryan on, Ryan Peterson on towards the beginning of the year too. I want to get him back on beginning of this next year. I got to reach out to him. There's something about Ryan.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I love that guy. There's something about you sit down with him, even the very first time we met him, it felt
like
it was. It was like your best friend. He's just like, hey, this guy was just awesome. I would definitely recommend digging into both of his books, though. It is the Judgment of the Nephilim, and the Last Nephilim.
Return.
No, I think it was the Last Nephilim. I can't remember. It's one of those two. Either way, Ryan Peterson, look it up. Phenomenal deep dive. Books are very well written. If you listen to the audiobook, which I did for one of them. He's the one reading it, and he's a very easy person to listen to. The audio book's excellent.
I have to look that up.
That's so, documentary like this year too.
Yeah,
his first documentary.
He's had a lot on his plate. So we'll see if we can snag him back sometime early this next year, 2025. Because I love Ryan; he's one of my favorites to talk to. Man, we had Brian Godawa on relatively early in the year too, talking about Hollywood, some of the entertainment industry for lack of a better word.
The final Nephilim.
The final Nephilim. There you go.
Judgment of the Nephilim and the final Nephilim.
Carl Gallups is. Let me tell you something, Carl Gallups. That guy blew my mind with some of the gematria, if you want to say, but the way that he breaks down the Hebrew language in especially just in the beginning of Genesis and shows you all these different connections where even in the beginning of the book of Genesis, he's showing the crucifixion. God's showing us the crucifixion and what's coming. It's told, it's right there. It's right in front of us. And Carl's really blown some stuff out, and that's the Yeshua Protocol is a phenomenal book that kind of dives into some of that. But Carl's a great guy, easy to talk to, really funny. But I definitely recommend following him. Listen to that episode. We actually have him on a couple times because we talked to him at the conference. We did an episode with him there, and then we had an episode with him right about the time. Unfortunately, it was the night that Helene made landfall. Was the last time we talked to him. It was released after that.
Did we have Derek on this year?
We did not. We need Derek back again, I'll tell you that. I love Derek. We had Rick Hasty back and Waverly on talking about their book. That was a pretty good one because that's like aimed at teens, right? You know, going through the world that they're in right now and how to grow up in this world right now. I have it written down. Search for Proof and Faith. And
that was a good book.
It's
I give Rick a copy Hasty to and, Kyla.
And Waverly, Waverly Cowart, his daughter. Very good insight. Very good conversation. I enjoyed that thoroughly. Rick's a great guy. Just an awesome dude to listen to and to talk with, easy to talk with as well, which I love. There's some people you have on and it's one of those things where you don't know somebody and it's kind of hard to kind of gauge how a conversation is going to go. And there's other ones like Ryan or Rick that you can just sit down and it's like, it's old friends. You just sit down, you have a conversation just like you would if you were sitting on the sofa in the living room. And those episodes are my favorite because from other people that I know that have watched them, they can sit there and say, man, I feel like I'm in the room with you. And that's such a cool thing when you can listen to a show. It's comfortable to listen to. It's entertaining. It's engaging. And it's not awkward at all. You know, it's just such an easy listening episode. So great to listen to. We had Dr. Gregory Reed on, who we've talked to at a couple of conferences. That's the first time we'd had him on the show, but man, he's got a few books. Just great insight again. One of the other people we had on was somebody that I met because he had been a neighbor of one of my friends, and that was Dr. Brock Hollett, who had wrote the book Jesus, the Jews, and the End of the Age. Very, very, very educated man. Very, very interesting conversation. I think that one went exceptionally well. And we talked even a little bit about translations of the Bible, where they came from, things of that nature, and a lot about his information, looking at where we are in the world today and where it's going. I mean, I don't know. There's so many. We've met. You know, we had Kent Hovind on again. Ooh, I love Kent. We talked to Ricky and Shelly from the Theological Dark Web.
It's just hard, man, to encapsulate so many great conversations.
A whole year's worth, yeah.
So much.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, with me is...
You're probably getting yours mixed together.
And that's the thing, I'm afraid to speak out because I'm afraid I'm going to conflate the two. I'm like, have we had Derek on? Because I remember talking to Derek. I just don't remember if it was this show or the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we had
I love it, man. I just love the conversations, man. I know. Just love talking to everybody.
It's cool.
Learning, man.
The cool part for me is that a lot of these people we've got to talk to, you know, on the show and we get to read their books and see, but then you go to these conferences and you meet them. and you get to see them face to face. You get to have a you get to sit down. A lot of them we've gone out to eat with, you know, and sat down and hung out with these people, and they are just. They're just amazing people that are trying to get the word of God out. But in the realm that we're in, they're trying to reach everybody with that supernatural worldview for the most part. I'm not saying everything we've had on here has been exactly that. There are other things that have popped up, different books, different authors, things that we felt inspired, that we felt led to put on. But so much of it is that supernatural worldview that the church has left behind for a large part. And I just think it's so cool that you get to meet some of these people, go to these conferences, be able to ask them questions face to face. I mean, if you've never sat down and had a conversation with Derek Gilbert, you are missing out. You just are. Derek,
he's a cool dude.
And he's a brain and a half. I mean, yeah. The guy, I don't think he's ever forgot anything he's ever learned since he was three. I mean, I just don't think he has.
But he don't talk over your head either. He talks to you where you're at. Yeah. I'm sure he could talk to a professor in professor wordage, but then he can talk to this retard here, and I can understand wordage. Too.
That's
yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. See,
no, but Derek is that guy. He's an easy to talk to guy.
He's a really, really cool dude,
and really, we got to give him a lot of credit because he's one of the guys that was the first to jump on our show because Justin had emailed him and talked to him a bunch well before we did this, just asking him questions, things of that nature. But
they was pen pals.
But they were, but Derek text, was.
Text pals. I was a fangirl a year before podcasting.
But he was so gracious to come on to a brand new podcast that was having about 10 people listen a week. And that he helped us change this. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much everybody we're related to. And it's grown substantially into something where, like I said, this year we hit over 100,000 downloads really early in the year. And pretty crazy to think about where we're at with that, where you went from literally, I mean, and Derek was a big part of that in the beginning. He helped us out. And I mean, I'm extremely grateful for him for doing that, because what does that do? That just lets our voices be heard. That lets the you know, God used him in a way to open it up to reach more people so that we can have our voices heard. We can have other people that come on our show have their voices heard. And Derek was a key catalyst in the beginning of that. And I really appreciate him for doing that for us in the beginning, because that is he didn't have to do anything like that. There was no obligation there. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart. Or maybe God was saying, nope, you got to do this. I don't know, but I appreciate it either way. I think that it's really important that we do say then to the people that are listening and that have followed us. And so many people have been with us since even very, you know, right after Mom and everybody else, you know, when we started getting going and Derek helped us out in the beginning and a couple other people helped us out pretty big early on. And we've had a lot of listeners from that first season that have stuck with us that communicate and talk in our face. I would highly recommend you get on our Facebook group on The Dig. It's not, you know, it's a forum on there. You can ask questions. We talk and people put memes, people, you know, just go back and forth. We recommend books, things of this nature. Like, it's such a great place, a community where you can come talk about the supernatural, not be judged. Cause you know what? Somebody comes at you on there, I will click, you're done. We don't do that on there. We don't play those games. We want people to come in there. It's a safe space. You can talk. You can ask those difficult questions, and we can all be there as a family, as a group together, and grow together. And that's a great place. You want to hear something on one of these shows? You got an idea of somebody you'd like us to try to reach out and talk to? Come on there and tell us. Come on and say something. We would love that. So we have a decent amount of people that are on that forum. Now it's over 1,000 some odd people. I'm not sure how many are on there, but there's a lot of people on there. There's some interaction. There's a lot of stuff posted back and forth. I just would love more people to get more active on there, to let us know what they think. You know, what would you like to see? What would you like to have us talk about? Give us some other show ideas. I'd love that. So,
yeah. Put me to the test and get, email us or get on the community forum, put me to the test. Apples to apples. Get on our, you know, RSS feed or on my RSS feed. Just get on any of our shows. Search up any guest, whether it be Derek Gilbert, Gary Wayne, Timothy Alberino, any of these guests. Type up their name and listen to, you know, the Dig Bible Podcast, Prometheus Lens. Listen to one of our conversations one of those guests. And then listen to a big name show that's in our genre. Take your pick. And take that same guest and listen to an episode with them. And compare apples to apples. Listen to the conversation. You know, get rid of the production value. You know, because that's money. Conversation. I guarantee you the conversation is going to be better. The intellectual level is going to be better. And even the stuff we talk about is going to be sooner. Because it's different. Like, for instance, the Valley of the Shadow of the Death, Valley of the Shadow of Death. Mm. We talked about that with Derek Gilbert years before a lot of other people. So the indie shows is where it's at, guys. You hear it first from the little guy. The little guy's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Derek and, with the Satan episode too. Like,
ooh. Yeah.
Oh, stuff's amazing. I mean, it's such good. Anyway, but. I think it's right. And I just to be totally transparent, it's not just us. There is a lot of other phenomenal creators, you know, people that do this that are out there that put the work in that do this. There are. I don't know. I think it's important. I think it's important that people find someone they identify with, that they can listen to, that they can, you know, relate to. But I think it's really, really important. And I think the cool part about shows that are smaller, and we know a lot of them, you know what I mean? We've talked to a lot of them. We've had them on, some of them on our show. Justin, you've gone on a few other ones, but a lot of these smaller shows that do put in a lot of the hard work, the people that still are working 9 to 5 days, they're putting out good content. But the cool part about those, if you want to hear something, if you want to do that, you'll hear back from them. You'll hear back from us. You reach out, we'll talk back to you. We'll respond. You want to hear something? I know I will never be too big for little guy. I don't care, because I love when I reach out to somebody, when we're looking for guests and I have somebody that I look up to as a phenomenal speaker or something, I reach out to them and then they reach back out to me. That means something to me. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal to me, that somebody I look up to that do these things. And I'm not saying people look up to us, but what I'm saying is that you can reach out, you can get a hold of us. It's not like just somebody on a TV screen somewhere. You can reach out, you can get a hold of us. You want to hear something, you want us to dig into something. I do think this next coming year, just like we did First Enoch, we need to either pick Jubilees or Jasher and do the same thing. Start breaking down another one of those historical books. And on top of that, Ben, you know, it was his idea to start doing the Bible studies. And we went through this year, we went through the book of Judges, and we went through a few chapters at a time, and broke down the book of Judges. And we'll continue on doing different things where we're breaking down God's word. There's so many different things that we do on here because each one of us is so different. I mean, the three of us being great friends, but at the same time, each one of us are so, I mean, if there was such a thing as three poles, we're all polar opposite. I mean, we are all very different people. And, but that's what I think makes it great, is that we all come from different walks. We all have different insight. We all have, it's a very unique, eclectic mix. Especially, like I said, because when we started this, we really didn't all know each other that well. So it's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely it's different, for sure.
It's a spicy sandwich, that's for sure. It's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
That it is. But, man, I'm excited. I think you guys will be excited for some of the guests coming up this year, some of the content. I'm going to just say this right now while I'm thinking about it, because I know we're probably getting close here. But I want to make sure everybody tune into The Dig, tell your friends, share this stuff, get it out there. If there's one episode you really liked, share it with your friends. Put it on your Facebook feed. Send it out there. Say, take a listen to this. That's the only way shows like this grow and we reach more people. Because the whole point is we're not reaching them for us. We're reaching them for God. We really are. That's the whole point, is we want to spread the word to all these different people and make it so that the Bible doesn't have those strange, weird parts. That we can make sense of it. That we can dig into God's word and not just gloss over some of it. So, super important. Listen to the Prometheus Lens. Justin has amazing guests, awesome conversation. When he's talking about intellectual people, he's talking about himself, because me and Ben are not that guy. But
I am definitely not that guy.
But no, that conversation and the insight, that will blow you away. It really will blow you away. I've listened to a lot of his stuff, a lot of his episodes, and there's a couple that once in a while he'll say, "You got to listen to this." And I sit down and I'm scratching my head, because I'm sitting there going, I have to listen to that again, because it just blew me away, and I'm trying to absorb it all. There's so much good content. Justin knocks it out of the park with that show. There's just so much. It's amazing. So listen to the Prometheus Lens. Definitely in the near future, you're going to be watching the Muddy Pissing Garage. It'll be on YouTube. It'll come out. It's not straight scripturally based, but it is definitely family friendly. You need to fix your car. We'll make it happen. But that's just going to be something out there that we're doing. Just,
hey, if you're local, I might fix your car for you.
You never know.
On YouTube. You never know.
Make sure you're listening to Sean and Brian, the Vessels podcast. Good friends of ours. Awesome show. Good insight. Definitely a different format than ours, but there's a different flavor for everybody out there. And then also listen to the Mustard Seed Podcast with Liz, Keisha, Leslie. The girls, they go into, they're doing a lot of the women of the Bible, breaking it down, and then doing Bible studies from a woman's point of view. And it's something that we just can't give. I mean, us as guys cannot give the same insight into something that they can. And I think it's important that you can hear it from both sides. You know, God gave us, men and women are very unique for many different reasons, but their insight into things is one of those things. So getting that scriptural insight from a woman, especially when you are a woman, can mean so much more, and you can take so much more from it. So I think it's important. But the Mustard Seed Podcast, dive into that. And just to think that all this stuff has spawned from The Dig 3 years ago, just blows my mind. It's just the most amazing thing to me. It's such a blessing. I love you guys. I think this is just such a cool thing that we get to do. We don't have to do. We get to do it. But at the same time, I know God's pushing it forward, and it's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, sometime next year, we will have a documentary of the mounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I am wrapping up my book, and I told myself that I didn't want to get involved in two projects at once. So I said, once I finish the book, then I would get involved in the documentary. So all the filming of the documentary is like 90% done. I just didn't want to get involved in all the editing and stuff until I finished the book. The book is in the final stages of formatting. So next year, you will see me and Steve in a Mounds documentary. Stay tuned.
And then be on the lookout also for the documentary. It's a creation evolution one, which I know those have been out there, kind of creation versus evolution. But this is, it's going to be called What Are the Chances? And it's going to bring a fresh perspective. It's going to have some amazing individuals in it. And God keeps opening some crazy doors for this that it's unreal. It doesn't make sense sometimes when you look and you think, you know, I'm nobody, but God's still using me to make these things, and God's still using me to push forward and let me be a part of his work. But it's going to be a fresh, unique take on the creation versus evolution thing that is going to give you an apologetic view, but using the science to show you the truth. I don't want to spoil too much because it will blow your mind, I guarantee it. So look forward to all these projects coming up. There's so much. We're doing so much at the same time working 9-to-5 jobs, but we're all doing this, and we're all in. I mean, this is what God's put in front of us. It's this is our plate to, continue. I don't know, just continue getting after, because it's a blessing to be able to do what God wants you to do. It's a blessing to be part of this. It's a blessing to hang out with you guys. It's a blessing to continue to be here on the dig, and I appreciate you guys.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, as always,
keep digging.